What's up, Tan and J Man Show Nation? It is Monday night. It is October 6th, 2025. Happy October. It's everybody out there. Happy Halloween season, I guess. You celebrate.
I'm I wish Tanner it felt Lee. Like October.
We're getting there. We're getting there. It looks like maybe starting Wednesday, at least here in Indiana. It looks like Wednesday it's going to get in the 60s. Feel kind of fallish. The weather in West Lafayette on Saturday for the Purdue Illinois game was 87 degrees.
That's like today still 90. Hot.
Yeah. Yep. I'd be complaining about that if it was like game one, like Labor Day, if it was 87, let alone October 4th or whatever it was.
I legit got sunburn on my face a little bit. Like, what are we doing? What are we doing? And they say global warming is not real. But, you know, that's a rabbit hole for another day. Whole another podcast there. So, but how we doing, J-Man?
I'm doing all right. How are you doing, T-Dog?
Doing good after yesterday.
Yeah, they Broncos kind of saved the weekend for you a little bit.
They absolutely did. It was funny. We Stephanie and I were watching the game, and it was – I don't even remember when the score was. It might have been Broncos were only down touchdown. I feel like it was when they were down 17-3. And she's like, sports just aren't even enjoyable. Yeah. I'm like, no, they really haven't been lately. And then all my negative thoughts kind of went away pretty quick.
It's incredible how a decent stretch of sports can change your entire mood. It's
pretty sad, isn't it? But
it really is. It really is. Yeah.
Here we are. But that's what we get, I guess, for being big sport fans. So
yeah, could have been into like cars and stuff. They never hurt you. Could have been into something that just wasn't sports. And there are some days I wish that was to be the case, but I can't quit them. I can't do it.
No, it's ingrained in us. It's in our blood. That's not happening. We can just blame our fathers.
Yeah,
because they're both sports nuts, so that's we got it honestly.
Yeah, my mom texted me the other day. She's like, "I just think it's so great that you decided to follow all of Dad's teams." And I said, "I wish he would have picked better teams."
Yep,
but he didn't. So that's why I'm miserable most of the time. So thanks, Dad.
There's been many times in the past I asked my dad, like, "Why couldn't you went to Florida?" I was trying to think of teams who are good in both basketball and football, but that's hard to come by anymore.
Yeah.
I mean, honestly, and I don't like saying this, but right now the best team of both sports combined, Alabama's been pretty good in basketball, even though I don't think they're going to be great this year. I was going to say Michigan lately, but
Michigan had some bad years the past couple years basketball wise.
That's true.
Ohio State's been down basketball-wise for a few years now. Georgia's never real good at basketball. Clemson's been okay at basketball.
Yeah. Florida, I mean, basketball's good now, but now football's down even though they had a good win.
Yeah. It is kind of hard because you look around the rest of the Big Ten, Indiana's been good at football here the past 2 years, but they kind of aren't very good at basketball. Purdue's basketball. Definitely the past 2 years. Illinois is usually just basketball, though they've been bad at both, seems like, for the better part of
football's good years, last year. So. Football's good again this year.
And basketball's been good for about 6 years now, which is nice. But no like national title contenders for both, it doesn't seem like anymore.
Wisconsin for a while.
Yeah, definitely. That was a good one. That's a good one. That it was kind of they're really good at basketball the same time and football the same time. Ohio State was good at both too,
right?
They both kind of dried up a little bit, in one sport or the other.
Yeah,
it's hard to really find a team. I mean, Kentucky stinks at football. We could go for an hour on just this.
We could.
But I have birdie or bogey for you tonight. It is an NFL question. I have a 5-stroke lead currently.
It is embarrassing. It's October 6th, and I haven't got a single trivia question correct this year. I've got bits and pieces for pars, but I haven't got one. That is just like I shouldn't be. I shouldn't be a part of the show. I shouldn't be.
I've given you some really tough questions. This one I feel confident in you. You might have seen it because I saw it on Twitter yesterday, so you might have a fact you follow this same account. Josh Allen is tied for the most games with at least one passing touchdown and a rushing touchdown in the same game with 45 of them. Who is he tied with?
All this is all time 45.
Yep. Okay. 45 games with a passing touchdown and a rushing touchdown in the same game.
I didn't see this. I have some names come to my mind, but I'm not confident. So,
figured you would have seen this because I saw
it. I didn't.
Birdie or Bogey is brought to you by Arlington Public House for good cuisine cocktails located 703 Main Street in Rochester, Indiana. Go check them out.
Yeah, they didn't have yes, they did. I'm an idiot. I was going to say they didn't have a weekend special. And right here it says weekend special. They had the smoked prime rib.
Ooh, I've had that
weekend special.
Very good.
And I was watching the video. That's why I was confused. But they are also hiring looking to hire a part-time server. So if you're out there and have some serving experience, or even if you don't have server experience, go in, apply, write to Dreddy's Place. And that's Dreddy's Place, I should say, not Arlington Public House. But they're owned by the same people. So
I'll be honest with you. I don't think either of us would be very good servers.
I'd be horrendous. Yeah. Absolutely awful. I have so much respect for the servers that don't even have to write it down.
Yeah, that's impressive.
And the ones who can get the orders correct, the ones who can, for one, I'd just be spilling things all over the place.
Yeah, me too. Be bumping into people. Spilling.
No, I'd be awful.
Yeah. I'd be fired within the first hour. There's no doubt. It for whatever reason, it feels like the people that don't, like, write it down, those are the ones that never get it wrong. Yet the people who sometimes write it down, it comes out and the food comes out bad. So, I'd be terrible at it. And I'm very glad I'm not in the restaurant.
Yeah. There's not many things in the restaurant industry I'd probably be good at.
No. I do like to cook, but not with time constraints on me.
In a party of 10.
Yeah.
Waiting for your food.
I'm good at cooking one thing, but I'm not going to be able to do five things at once. I'm a terrible multitasker. You can just ask my wife. That's a bone of contention. That was my inability to multitask, and working in the kitchen would not be for me.
I like to think I can pour a beer. But besides that, as far as bartending, nope.
No.
I couldn't make you a good mixed cocktail right off the top of my head.
No, it'd be either really strong or there'd be zero alcohol. Yeah,
exactly. No doubt. No doubt. So, yeah. But like I said, Dreddy's Place / Arlington Public House, looking for a part-time server. So if you're interested, go in right there on Main Street and apply. And good luck. So I thought we'd start off with some baseball talk. I mean, it's going to be a football-heavy program, of course, with Week 5 closing the books on Week 5 tonight, Monday Night Football with the Chiefs and the Jaguars, and 6 weeks down already in college football.
Some teams are half over already. I mean, Illinois played six games already. They're halfway through the regular season anyway. So, yeah.
Crazy. It's,
the division series is happening. We had the my bucket last week was all four of the wild card games, or all four of the wild card series would go three games. And once again, the Cincinnati Reds proved their inability to do anything good, and they got swept. They were so incredibly overmatched.
They were.
They shouldn't have been a playoff team. They won 83 games, 83 and 79. Should not be a playoff team. But because of the Mets' hilarious collapse, they were.
And I will say, though, although we've seen teams in the past like the Phillies and the Diamondbacks make runs to the World Series as 80-some-odd win teams.
Yeah, Cardinals won the World Series in 2006 with 83 wins.
Wow.
They just got hot, and they found a way to beat the Mets in seven games in the championship series, and then I think they end up sweeping Detroit in that series. But, they won 83 games. That was not a very good Cardinals team, and they still won the World Series. So, yes, we have seen it.
But to your point, they were overmatched.
Yeah, and the Dodgers overmatch a lot of teams. So, makes sense. But yeah, we saw the Dodgers advance in two, and then we saw the Yankees advance in three. Red Sox became the first team of the wild card series era to win the first one and not win the series, which was kind of funny. But Yankees advanced, and the Tigers beat the Cleveland Guardians in three, and the Cubs one and three as well. So I was very happy. That was about as I don't get as excited as I used to when my team wins, but that was about as happy.
Why is that, do you think?
I don't know if it's age, honestly. Yeah. But
do you think the 2016 season has a lot to do with that too? Even though it was nine years ago, just I mean, you would still love to win a World Series. Don't get me wrong.
Yes.
Anytime, but I don't know some of that. Like, don't know what I'm trying.
Yeah,
to say.
They did it. I've seen my team win a title.
Yeah.
I can say I saw my team win a title. I don't know what it is. Really, any sport. It's less of Illinois basketball is still pretty bad. I was more nervous during the game three because, I mean, up two, and next thing you know, there's a guy on second and third and two outs, and Fernando Tatis Jr. is on deck. And they luckily got a fly out to a fairly deep center field. Off the bat, I'm like, oh, geez, that's gone. But PCA was able to keep it in the ballpark. I was about as excited as I've been since probably game five of the NLDS in 2017. I was very happy they moved on. They celebrated and looked like a team that was hungover on Saturday, where Michael Bush hits a leadoff homer. That I was showing emotion then. I was almost running around my basement. I was so pumped. The next thing you know, he found himself down 6-1 at the end of the first. So that kind of damper on it. Yeah.
I was at the Purdue Illinois game, and right next to our good buddy Evan Webb, and he looked at a score. And he shows me, I'm like, oh my gosh, 6-1 in the first. And then another time he shows me, it's like 9-1 in a second. I'm like, what is going on? I'm like, please, because he's usually on his phone more during the games, at the games. I think he gets a little better service, and I don't know. I'm just like watching the game, not on my phone type thing. I'll check scores once in a while, even though Purdue's got a running ticker of the Big Ten games and tough my phone. I'm like, no offense here, J-Man. I'm like, you got to pull up Josh's Twitter. I would know what he's saying.
It went about as bad as humanly possible.
Yeah, it did.
For one though, coming into the game, they announced Matthew Boyd as a starter, and every single Cubs fan's like, "What?" he pitched game one. He only threw 50 something pitches. He'd been terrible in the second half. We thought it'd be Javier Assad would start and maybe pitch three innings and then go to Colin Ray or something. They didn't even put Assad on the DS roster. So that was one. And then it turned out to be a disastrous decision. So it kind of validated our opinion while also making us mad. They need to bounce back tonight. Obviously you don't want to go down 2-0 in a best of five.
No,
your likelihood of winning a series then is very, very small. And they have Shota Imanaga on the mound tonight, who's been, again, bad in the second half. He can't keep the ball in the ballpark. Hopefully he has it. Last time he pitched in Milwaukee, I don't think he made it through two. I think he gave up like 8 runs in an inning in the third or something like that. This was back in July. It was bad. Then they face Aaron Ashby, I think his name is. He's a lefty, and
I couldn't name you a Brewer pitcher right now.
Freddie Peralta is probably going to finish second in the Cy Young, I'd say.
I've heard the name there, yeah.
Second or third in the Cy Young. And Cubs can't hit him either, which makes it even worse. And he shut him down pretty good on Saturday. He's a lefty. I think he's going to be an opener, so he'll pitch two innings. And a decision was made by Craig Counsell to start 40-year-old Justin Turner at first base tonight. Not only start him, he's leading him off, which Turner hasn't hit in the top six since, I would say,
April. Trying some interesting things, it sounds like, for some reason.
Now, I understand why he did it. So Turner's been kind of their guy that's been playing against lefties. He's terrible against right-handed pitching and left-handed pitching, so I don't know how he continues to make the roster. But they're leading him off because Ashby's only going to go, two innings. So then they're going to insert Michael Bush once the second time through the order there, Bush will be in. So it makes sense. But then at the same time, you're losing a right-handed hitter to pinch hit. So I don't really understand it. And I don't really like it because Michael Bush has been their best hitter probably since the beginning of September. And he's been hitting lefties pretty well here recently, and I wish they would have just let him start. I don't get it. But anyway, must win tonight. Then they go to Wrigley on Wednesday, where that place will be absolutely rocking. Especially
is that a night game?
It is a 4 o'clock Central Time game.
All right,
which are not my favorite. I prefer the 8 o'clock Central Time, which is the latest Cubs have had a first pitch in probably years. Besides being on the West Coast, but I'm okay with that because I can at least watch it more of
yeah.
it. I'll be able to watch majority of it on Wednesday just because I'll probably get home at like 4:15 or 4:20. So I might miss the first inning.
And you can listen to Pat Hughes on your way home.
Which I much prefer that than the national guys anyway on TV. So
all the national guys in all sports stink anymore.
Yeah, I wish it would be great if YouTube TV came up with a thing where you can listen to your local guy, like radio guy, and have it synced up with the – because I know when Apple TV does their like Friday games, you can have like the radio broadcast for your team, which is perfect.
Yes, that would be great.
Which would be great. But it's a big week. I mean, I keep saying each game is the biggest game in 8 years for the Cubs, is what I keep saying.
Sure.
Hopefully they can keep going. But, hey, they made it further than I really thought they would, because I thought the Padres would get them. But the Cubs were able to really shut down the Padres' stars. They held Fernando Tatis Jr. and Manny Machado 2-for-22 in this series last weekend. So they're going to be
their defense was really good from the last game.
Their defense was awesome. Dansby Swanson didn't do much with the bat during the series, but he probably would have won wild card MVP of that round, because he saved multiple runs on Tuesday and then made some fantastic plays on Thursday as well. So, and that's been the thing with the Cubs. They've had elite defense all year. Nico Horner might win the Platinum Glove this year as best defender in the sport, and he made an error on Saturday that ended up costing the Cubs 4 runs, which is just weird, because Nico, I think he only had 2 or 3 errors on the season. And he's been one of the best defenders in all sport, regardless of position. And so that's when I kind of knew, like, yeah, okay. Coming into the game, Matthew Boyd against Freddie Peralta, I was fearing they were going to lose that one anyway. So it didn't really do much, besides it was just embarrassing that they got beat.
I think you'd rather lose that way, though, if you're going to lose, than lose on a heartbreaking walk-off hit or home run.
Definitely. I'd much rather lose.
Rip the Band-Aid off right away.
Yeah. I'd much rather lose after giving up 9 runs in the first 2 innings than, blow a late lead.
Maybe they'll come out pissed off tonight and focused.
They need to. Hopefully, it's kind of a weird schedule. You play one, you're off one, then you're off again, then you play two, then you're off. So it's kind of a clunky schedule. I get why they did it, because the NFL yesterday, but and they wanted to stagger probably the ALC or the ALDS and the NLDS, which is why the AL played both Saturday and Sunday. And those series are interesting. The Blue Jays have blown out.
Yankees look terrible.
They do, and their pitching is this real strength, especially starting pitching. But Max Fried got lit up yesterday.
Yeah, I think they're toast.
Again, going down 2-0 is always difficult.
Yeah.
But, you get 2 home games. You get Carlos Rodon. Then you get Cam Schlitter, who's been awesome.
He was great.
Down.
Game three
against the Red Sox.
12 Ks.
12 strikeouts. Yeah, and he's a rookie. Yeah. He didn't come up till like post All-Star break. So you win those two, and then
all the pressure's on Toronto.
Yeah. On Toronto. And then Tigers and Mariners are tied at 1, where the Tigers won an extra inning game on Saturday, and then Mariners bounced back. So, and then the Dodgers are up 1-0, and I think they're playing right now, actually. I don't know. I think they're playing right now, or at least they're about to kick off or throw the first pitch. But it's a baseball fun time. It's bottom 3-0-0.
Yep.
So I forgot how intense. I know how intense postseason baseball is, but when your team's in it, it's even more so intense.
Yep.
It was almost kind of refreshing to see the Cubs get blown out, as you said, on Saturday, and it was over early instead of being on the edge of your seat the whole time. So I was able to kind of watch the Illinois-Purdue game more on my laptop because the Cubs got down so big.
Yeah.
But.
Yep. It's October baseball special.
It is. Sure. It is.
For sure. So you want to get educated.
I do. I actually have it pulled up if you want me to do it tonight.
All right, sure. I probably need it more than you. So,
on this day in 1882, the first World Series baseball football game was played. The Cincinnati Reds stomped Cincinnati. On this day in 1911, Boston Rustlers future Baseball Hall of Fame pitcher Cy Young's MLB farewell appearance.
He's on this thing all the time.
Where he, it was his 906th career game he pitched, which is just absurd. And he got blown up 13-3, they lost. On this day in 1926, George Herman Babe Ruth became the first MLB player through 2014-12. That's just 12. He did it against actually a couple of them were off Justin Verlander in game one. On this day in 1945, tavern owner Billy Goat Sionis buys a seat for his goat for game four of the Baseball World Series and is escorted out, casts a goat curse on the Chicago Cubs.
I remember back in 20, it would have been after 2003, we got my grandpa a t-shirt that said, we blew up the ball, now it's time to grill the goat.
Yep. Actually, speaking of 2003, on TikTok today, I was scrolling through, and it looked like on this day, or maybe it was yesterday, Cubs won game five of the NLDS to advance to the championship series to face the Marlins. It was their first playoff series win since 1908. 2003.
Oh my gosh. Did they beat the Braves?
Yeah. Yep. Braves. They beat the Braves in five. Yeah.
That is wild. It was almost 100 years.
Now, the thing is, they didn't have, they only had, they didn't really have playoffs.
Pennant winners, right? Just pennant winners.
They had pennant winners up until probably the 70s. And then I think they had divisions. But then still, it was only a championship series. Like two teams made it. So it made it more difficult.
Yeah, when you put it in those terms, yeah.
But yeah, on this day in, lot of pennants. A lot of American League and National League Championship Series. 1983, the New York Jets announced they are leaving Shea Stadium for the Meadowlands.
They've sucked ever since.
Well, on this day. In 1993, after nine seasons and three championships with the Chicago Bulls, Michael Jordan announced his first retirement from the NBA. He returned on March 18th, 1995.
It would have been fascinating to be old enough to remember those 2 years when he wasn't around in the league.
Yeah, that would have been real interesting. No one talks about those years of the 90s either.
Except Houston Rocket fans.
Yeah. It's the only time they can win. on this day in 1995, the Colorado Avalanche, formerly Quebec Nordiques, played their first NHL game. Do you know who they beat?
The first game, I don't, but I'll take a stab at it. Let's go with the LA Kings. I have no idea.
Detroit Red Wings.
Oh, they were rivals with Red Wings for a long time before the divisions got all intertwined. They used to beat the crap out of each other.
2010, Phillies ace Roy Doc Holliday pitches only the second postseason no-hitter in MLB history in Game 1 of the NLDS, winning 4-0 against the Cincinnati Reds at Citizens
Bank. I remember it was against the Reds. Andrew Eiler was crying.
I remember where I was at when I watched this game. I was in the basement of my dorm room watching with another Reds fan, which was kind of funny to see his reaction to it.
Rest in peace, Doc Holliday. It was a good one.
Let's see. There is no more. It's kind of a rough one this week.
Well, not too bad. We've had worse.
Definitely.
But we've had better, but we've had worse. And that is the On This Day segment, which is brought to you by, like as every week, Mooney Wood and Laser Crafts. Mooney Wood and Laser Crafts is a veteran-owned and operated woodcraft shop based out of Texas with Indiana grassroots. They provide 100% hand-cut custom designs to fit your needs, and their pieces are a great addition to any home, office, man cave, or kitchen, now with tumblers. Or your car. Take the tumblers with you in the car. You can see some of the recently completed projects by visiting them at Mooney Wood Laser Crafts on Instagram and on Facebook. And if you let them know the Tan Jamin Show sent you, you get 15% off your first order. And hopefully I can pull this up on my phone and everybody watching on Facebook and YouTube and the IC Sports Network can see this. But I mean, Thad has getting really good with detailing. Here's some wooden signs here. It's the Alpha Aura Farmers, 507th CTS there. Hopefully everybody can see
that's
that.
That's neat.
And then he had a tumbler here. This is actually a video. I mean, he's getting really detailed with some of his designs more.
I wish I had skills of some sort.
So he does a lot of military-based stuff. He's in the military, but he can make it with whatever you want. And he said, I said, wow, great detail. He said, there's an Easter egg in the aura for the area where our Rangers are, New Mexico, 1950s. And then he said, E.T. was drunk and hit that mountain. So pretty cool. Pretty cool. So get a hold of Thad, and he'll hook you up with a piece of woodworking or a tumbler or patches for a hat, stickers. Mm-hmm. He just keeps growing. So go check him out on his website too, MooneyWoodAndLaserCraft.com. You want to talk some college football?
Let's do it.
I feel like we should start off with college football. Last week we did NFL and didn't give college football too much time. And I feel like there's a lot of takeaways from week six around the country and in the Big Ten.
Yeah. I think the biggest takeaway is Penn State.
My goodness.
Going on the road to I would still say they're the worst Power Four team in UCLA right now. And Penn State usually has an incredible defense, and they're supposed to have a really good defense this year. They gave up 42 points to a first-time ever play caller, Jerry Neuheisel, and lost. And I think that's it for James. I think they'll play out the season. If they win out, maybe he'll stick around. But I think that's got to be it, right? Because he can't win the big one, and that's been the thing. But now, after almost winning a big one, he now loses to the worst team in the Power Four. UCLA's interim coach is now tied with James Franklin for most home wins over a top 10 opponent.
That's pathetic.
Yeah.
I think the only way he saves his job is they went out, go 10-2, can get into the playoff somehow.
Uh-huh.
Maybe that salvaged it. But then, even then, maybe he has to win one game, which they did last year. They beat SMU at home, but then they lost to Notre Dame. But yeah, I think it's time for a split for both. I mean, he's a good enough coach. He'll get it. He'll get a job pretty quickly. Yeah. But he did what he needed to do after Bill O'Brien left Penn State really quickly. He dug Penn State out of the ground of embarrassment, brought them back to relevancy. But he can't get over the hump, and it's just not going to happen. If he can't do it with this team, it's not going to happen.
Yeah, it seems like he's never won a whiteout game, for one, which is always the big one. He did get to the playoff, but he can't beat Ohio State, can't beat Michigan when they're good. Can't beat Oregon now, even though they just started.
We'll see if he can beat Indiana.
We'll see if he can beat Indiana. It's getting late for him there.
Yep. There was another coach somebody compared him to, and I really liked it that they kind of, brought the program up to relevancy and then couldn't get him to the next step. So I had to go. I don't remember who it was. I wish I could remember it. I saw a tweet, but that was a big takeaway. Another big national takeaway, not particularly Big Ten, of course, but Texas losing at Florida.
Yeah.
So now your teams who started the year ranked number 1 and 2 in Texas and Penn State and were ranked respectively 7 and 9 coming in this week are out of the top 25.
As they should be.
As they should
be. I'm glad they weren't ranked this week. But, Arch Manning does not look it yet. He's got some time. I know Texas fans were all over Quinn Ewers last year saying, put in Arch. Mm-hmm. Well, you see how that's working out for you this year.
Yeah.
It's been ugly to start. I mean, I don't even think they played all that great against teams like San Jose State or whoever they play. I know they blew out a team here and where Arch walked over a guy in the aura of Arch Manning, even though he lit up a bad team. It's been bad down there.
Yeah, it really has. Washington, impressive come from behind victory over Maryland. I thought they were dead in the water down 21.
Yeah.
Came back and won that one.
Yeah, they were down late too, like end of third quarter. And that's a bad loss for Maryland because that could have been one of those like, hey, we're actually pretty good, but you blow that one now.
Yeah, you get out the 5-0, you start raising people's eyebrows.
I think they would have probably been ranked this week too.
I think maybe so too.
24th, 25th, but
I think so too. I can't think of anything other real newsworthy. Of course, Illinois beat Purdue by 16. Luke Altmyer, he'll be playing on Sundays next
year.
He's
good.
He might not be playing, but he's going to be on a roster. I mean, he might be a backup, but he's going to be on a roster.
He's pretty solid. Illinois' defense is trash. They have the third worst yardage per game given up in the Big Ten ahead of only Purdue and UCLA. Right. And they got gashed pretty good, and they were lucky they got up. I mean, Purdue really couldn't get a stop either.
No. Purdue's defensive backs were god awful.
Yeah. That might be Barry Odom's top wish list in the portal is some secondary.
Yeah. They were missing their number one corner, but I mean, he's not going to make up for all those explosive plays.
Yeah.
Purdue just shot themselves in the foot too many times too. Every time it looked like they were getting some momentum. I mean, they're up 7-3. They're driving to at least get up 10-3, if not 14-3. Michael Jackson fumbles. Later in the game, they get a first stop, and it seemed like forever, making Illinois punt. This was in third quarter, late in the third quarter. Down 9. Michael Jackson fumbles the punt.
Yeah.
Illinois gets it. And Illinois scores both boom, boom right after those. That just kind of took the wind out of the stadium both times, but Purdue's offense is good enough to win games, but boy, their defense has to improve. And this game this weekend at Minnesota, it starts a 3-game stretch of at Minnesota, at Northwestern, or Rutgers at home.
Yeah.
Wonderful. Three chances to maybe win some games because November's looking rough on the schedule with at Michigan, Ohio State home, at Washington, Indiana home.
Yikes.
So we'll see the next 3 weeks what they're made of. But I was just disappointed because I felt like they had opportunities and just couldn't get it done.
Yeah, Purdue is way better than last year.
They are. I mean, doesn't take much.
Luke Altmyer, he's a fifth-year senior. He was 19 for 22 or something. And, I think he only threw 8 times in the second half. They really tried to establish the run.
Yep.
They really couldn't do it.
Yeah, I was glad to see when they ran, when they handed off. I'm like, keep doing that. Keep doing that. Because, he was just torching Purdue. And even when Purdue had good coverage sometimes, he'd drop right in the bucket. I mean,
he made some pretty – the one right before half was a great throw.
Yeah.
And the first one after the half was a great throw, but then he was hitting Hank Beatty, who's really, really good. He kind of came onto the scene late last year, like against Northwestern, had a good bowl game, and now he's second in the Big Ten in receiving yards this year.
Yeah.
So he's very good. But Luke, he hasn't turned the ball over once this year for 6 games, so which is pretty incredible.
That'll win you ball games.
Definitely.
Speaking of Luke Altmyer, I want to go ahead and do my blind rankings.
All right.
I actually came up with 6, but I have to cut one out here. Illinois quarterbacks.
Oh, boy.
In our lifetime since you've been watching.
Yeah.
And you got to rank them. You can rank them however you want. Your favorite, which one you'd want to start a game if it was a must win. I don't care. I don't care how you do it. But you can list them, then say what criteria you went off with. But we will start with the quarterback from 2011 through 14, Riley O'Toole.
He led him to a bowl game once. I think Shieldhouse was hurt. Or maybe I don't know if Shieldhouse was there then. I think it was the next year. They started terrible and then won a few games at the end of the year, and it actually saved Beckman's job. He stunk, though. They've had such bad quarterbacks since Shieldhouse left until they picked up Tommy DeVito. Their quarterback play was the worst I'd ever seen in football. I'm going to put O'Toole. There's got to be worse guys on the list. I'm going to put him 4.
Okay. Yep. Well, you spoke about this guy a couple times just now, Nathan Shieldhouse. He was quarterback from 2010 through 13.
I'm putting him 2. He was pretty solid. He was on some bad teams, though. But he was one of their consistently good performers, which you'd think the team would be better if the quarterback's good. But those defenses were abhorrently bad.
Wes Lunt from 2014 through 16.
I wish I could put him 12th. he came in with a lot of promise. I mean, he was a high-ranked 4-star guy that went to Oklahoma State. Yep. Then he transferred. He was supposedly an Illinois basketball junkie, and that was a big reason why he transferred to Illinois. He was a statue back there. His offensive line was terrible, but he couldn't make any plays out of the pocket. He was bad. I'm going to put him there's got to be somebody worse than him and Riley O'Toole. I'm going to put him three.
Okay. Brandon Peters, 2019 through 21.
Oh, man, I wish I could put him 12th, too. I couldn't stand him. He did lead him to a bowl game, but he was bad, too. But, man, there's going to be a bad quarterback on this. Luke Altmyer is the best quarterback they've had since Jeff George, and I'm going to stick with that one. So I assume he's not on the list, but I'm not putting Peters once. I'm going to have to put Peters five.
Well, the last guy, Juice Williams, 2006 through 2009. I say
I'm okay with that because I was thinking you were going to say Jeff George Jr. and he was,
no he the other one I had down but I decided to be nice was Isaiah Williams,
who's a wide receiver actually.
He was on the quarterback list. There was like 35.
He started as a quarterback and then became. He actually led the Big Ten in receptions his junior and senior year, which was just 2 years ago.
That's right.
And he's playing for the Jets.
He said 19 and 20 was the years he was quarterback, so that's why I put him.
Yeah, it was a bad team, and he ran it. Like, I think he completed like 30% of his passes, but he ran it a bunch. And they switched him to wide receiver when Bielema got there, and he had over 1,000 yards, I think, his junior and senior year, and now he's with the Jets. He, against the Dolphins last week, he fumbled once on a punt return. He fumbled once on a kickoff return, and then he called a fair catch on a punt at the 3-yard line.
I didn't see that.
Yeah. It's not going very well for Isaiah in the NFL, but he's in it. So,
but I gave you Juice from 06 through 09. I figured besides Altmyer, he's the next best one they've probably had since Jeff George.
Yeah, I mean, Kittner was good too.
Yeah, Kittner was good. Kittner
but
was good.
I wasn't really watching him back then.
Kittner. Yep.
Good list.
But yeah, there's a lot of bad ones on there. Some names on there that I didn't put down. I completely forgot about.
So. Yeah. From 2014 through 2021, it was a whole bunch of crap.
Yep. I feel you there, though. I could say the same about my school. So that's the Blind Ranking segment, which is brought to you by Like It Is Every Week, Performer Print 2 Promo Group. If you're looking for a trustworthy, dependable resource for next trade show, company picnic, or sales meeting in the end of 2025 or 2026, Performer Print 2 Promo Group has over 50 years combined experience in promotional products and commercial print. They strive for fast and efficient response to all your print needs, so you need to look no further. Let them be your one-source print and promotional company today by giving Barbara Van Weinsberg a call at 574-210-3815. All right, you want to pick some games?
Let's do it.
All right, good slate of Big Ten games this week. We've got more of them. We got 9 of them. Last week, we only had 7. Starting with a Friday night game, Rutgers at Washington. And I know Washington's favorite, but I haven't seen the line yet. If my phone will load. Washington is a 11.5-point favorite.
I have Washington for 6.
I got Washington for 8. Late night game, 9 o'clock game. Long trip from Piscataway out to Seattle. I just think Washington's a lot better.
Yeah.
So taking the Huskies there. Fox, big noon, number 1, Ohio State at number 17, Illinois. Ohio State's a 14.5-point favorite.
I have Ohio State for 8. I don't know if it'll be as bad as the Indiana game, but I think it'll be close. I don't think Illinois' defense, for one, will be able to handle, which no defense can handle Jeremiah Smith or Carnell Tate and stuff like that. Ohio State's defense is the best they've faced and probably will be the best defense they face all season. So maybe they can keep it close, but I think Ohio State pulls away at the end. Ohio State for 8.
I got Ohio State for 6. I think Illinois keeps it a game in the first half, then Ohio State opens it up in the second half. It'll be closer than Ohio State Minnesota was.
Okay. It'll be rocking for sure. I would say this is the most anticipated regular season Illinois game in Champaign since I've been watching.
I still wish it was a night game. I don't like the trying to shove this Fox Big Noon down our throats.
I thought for sure this would be the first time Illinois would ever get a host game day. I think that I thought this was a good opportunity to do that, but
should have been.
Yeah, but Fox swooped in and gets priority. And Illinois Fox Big Noon a couple weeks ago against USC, they had an incredible turnout for the pregame show, so that probably factored into it.
Well, game day is Big Ten this week, Indiana at Oregon.
Which makes sense. Sure. Two top 10 teams. I got Oregon for 7. I think they handle them pretty easily.
I got Oregon for 3. I think they win, but every time I
know
pick against this IU team, they prove me to look like an idiot. So I'm having some caution there. UCLA at Michigan State. Michigan State's only a 7.5-point favorite.
it's on the road too.
Yeah.
Or at home for Michigan State. I got Michigan State for 5.
I got Michigan State for 7. I don't know a lot about Michigan State. They're maybe the team know the least amount about in the Big Ten, to be honest, besides their coach and their quarterback. But I think, you know, a lot of that's coming off, oh, UCLA just beat Penn State. Could they make it 2 in a row? I think they come back down to earth.
Yep.
There's tape on them now.
Yeah. Yep.
More tape on you know, what the coach is like.
Well, and everything. I mean, yeah. First time ever play caller who called us first ever plays on. Yeah. Yep. You got some ideas.
Nebraska, 6.5 point favorite on the road at Maryland.
Nebraska, good home win against who'd they play?
Michigan State.
Michigan State,
yep.
That's right.
Yep.
Home win, I guess. Yep. I got Nebraska for 1.
I'm taking the Terps for 5. Ooh. I don't know why. I'm like, they bounce back, road game. You know, Nebraska probably has as many fans there as Maryland will.
Yeah.
I don't know. It was kind of a tough one for me to pick. I don't even know why I landed 5 on it, but there we are. I'm guessing we're going to agree on this one with the winner and points. Northwestern at Penn State, who's a 21.5-point favorite.
Yeah. Penn State's not losing again. I got Penn State for 9. If they do, though, oh, boy.
Oh, if they lose 3 in a row and lose Northwestern, Franklin, he might be canned.
Yeah, he really might. Yeah.
So we already did Indiana and Oregon. Iowa at Wisconsin. Iowa's a 3.5-point favorite.
Yeah, first 1-13 wins this one. Give me Iowa for 2.
I'm taking Wisconsin for 1 because they're at home. Have you seen their schedule, J-Man?
Wisconsin's? No.
Yes. So they host Iowa. Right. Next week, they host Ohio State.
Oh, boy.
Then they go to Oregon. Then they host Washington. Then they go to Indiana. Then they host Illinois. Then they go to Minnesota.
Yeah.
Not many wins in there.
No, Fickle's done. I see 4-8 at best.
Yep, I do too.
That's best case scenario. Yep. And I don't think they can justify bringing him back for that.
You know, we all thought because he was a good head coach, that was a match made in heaven, and it just has not worked out.
It seems like he came in and completely changed what they've been doing forever that made him successful, and it has not gone well.
Yep. Purdue at Minnesota. And Minnesota is a 7.5-point favorite. The line opened yesterday at 10.5. So, sorry, went down 3 points for some reason.
Minnesota beat – who'd they beat over the weekend?
They got killed by Ohio State.
They got killed by Ohio State the week before they won. I'm taking Minnesota for 4 just because they're at home.
I got Minnesota for 4 as well. Purdue's 1-6 in that stadium. Yeah. Their last win was the last time they played there in 2022. I got some sad things about Purdue real quick I want to say. Purdue's 1 of 6 teams in the country without an interception.
Yikes.
They've only forced 1 turnover. That was a strip sack against Notre Dame. They haven't beat a Power 4 team since they beat Indiana in November of 2023. Oh, get this one. They haven't won a Big Ten road game since November 2022 when Jeff Brohm beat Indiana to clinch the Big Ten West. Because Ryan Walters never won a Big Ten road
game. Wow. I didn't realize it was that bad.
Yeah. It's also the first time Purdue's left the state of Indiana this year.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. That'll be interesting. Maybe that'll bring a team together. Who knows?
I hope I'm wrong, but I'm going Minnesota for 4 as well, even though I'd love them to win 3 straight over P.J. Fleck because Walters beat Fleck 2 years ago, and then they didn't play last year. Number 15, Michigan at USC. USC is a 2.5-point favorite.
This will be the J-Man's Book of Prediction of the Week. Give me the Trojans. 3 points. I think USC beats them.
I got the Trojans for 2. I think it'll be a good game, but I think USC is a little more talented as far as athleticism. Michigan's a little tougher in the trenches, maybe, but USC can really throw it around the yard. So
they can. USC's defense is terrible, though, especially against the run. So maybe Michigan can get a run game against them.
And who's the J-Man's Book of Prediction of the Week sponsored by?
Travis Watchering Insurance Agency for life, home, auto, business, renters, workers' comp, and farm insurance. Contact Travis 219-869-4561.
But top 25 games got interesting one Friday night. The newly ranked number 24, ranked again, South Florida Bulls are 4-1. They travel to face 5-0 North Texas. But South Florida is a 1.5-point favorite.
Give me South Florida. Alex Goldash and the boys.
I'll take the Mean Green, North Texas. They better try to get Goldash, pay the man pretty soon, because there's a lot of jobs open. And I don't know if he'll be staying in Tampa much longer.
Yes, but I mean, Florida might open for one.
Yeah. Number 8, Alabama, 2.5-point favorite at number 14, Missouri, 5-0.
The interesting thing is Missouri's quarterback is Bo Pribula, who was Penn State's backup last year, and he's having a much better year than I haven't watched Missouri, so I hope he started for them now that I say that. But he's having a better – but Missouri as a team is having a better year than Drew Allers than Penn State. Give me Alabama, though.
I'm taking Alabama in a close one. They took care of business after being down for a little bit against Vanderbilt.
Yep.
They're starting to find their flow. Simpson's starting to play good football. They're starting to find things out. I just can't believe the point spread on this one. Number 4, Ole Miss, in the rank number 4. 32.5-point favorites at home against Washington State.
Yikes. Has Washington State won a game yet?
3-2.
Oh, they've won more than I thought. why are they? I wonder why they're playing. Give me Ole Miss large.
Yeah, Ole Miss is pretty good. Virginia Tech, 14.5-point underdogs. They are 2-4. At number 13, 5-0, Georgia Tech.
Give me Georgia Tech.
I like Georgia Tech as well. The Red River Rivalry, 5-0. Number 6, Oklahoma, plays 3-2, Texas. And Texas is a 2.5-point favorite.
I don't get it. Maybe Texas will win, but give me Oklahoma. I mean, yeah.
Yep.
Venables is saving his job so far.
If I have Mateer and the boys getting a W, and Arch and the boys losing their third and officially eliminating them from playoff contention.
Yep.
So they can still make it with 2 losses.
Yeah.
So number 22, Iowa State, who is 5-1. I'm hearing some NFL buzz amongst Matt Campbell yesterday. Matt Campbell and Dan Lanning are the 2 hot names they said to watch.
They're Dan Lanning, yeah.
They're at 2-4 Colorado. Iowa State is 2.5-point favorites.
Iowa State coming off a rough loss to Cincinnati over the weekend. Cincinnati's a lot better than we both had them. I think we had them finishing in the bottom 3 or 4.
Yeah, they're a red zone pick away from being undefeated.
Yeah, they're 5-1. Give me Iowa State in that one.
I take Iowa State as well. I give Deion Sanders a lot of grief on here, but hope the guy gets his health under control. Yeah. It's scary what's going on with him out there. So I wouldn't be shocked if this is his last season in Boulder, and he has to just retire from health reasons, to be honest. So, which would be really bad for that program, because they'd lose all their momentum they have, even though they are already losing momentum.
I was going to say, I think all their momentum left when Travis Hunter got taken in the first round this year.
NC State, who is 4-2, travels number 16, Notre Dame. Notre Dame is a 21.5-point favorite.
Notre Dame wins. They're kind of sluggish against Boise over the weekend, but found a way to win. I think they cover that.
Could this be a trap game with USC coming into South Bend next week?
Maybe. They already have 2 losses. They got to be locked in if possible.
Yep, I like Notre Dame to win this one. Bobby Petrino and the Hogs travel to number 12, Tennessee, who's 4-1 and a 12.5-point favorite.
Give me Tennessee. I think they're pretty good. Yep.
Texas A&M, number 5 in the country, 5-0, hosts 2-3 Florida, and A&M is a 7.5-point favorite.
Give me A&M.
I agree. Number 10, Georgia, 4-1, travels a 3-2 Auburn. Georgia is a 3.5-point favorite.
That's it, huh? Give me Georgia.
I like Georgia as well. Kansas, who is 4-2, travels a number 9, 5-0 Texas Tech, who is a 13.5-point favorite.
Texas Tech is sneaky, sneaky good program there, sneaky good team. But give me
a lot of money. I think they've spent more money than anybody.
They have,
I like the Red Raiders. South Carolina, 9.5-point dogs at number 11, LSU.
Give me LSU.
I agree. Here's a good team that not a lot of people are talking about. Number 18, BYU, 5-0. Travels to 4-1 Arizona. BYU is only a 1.5-point favorite.
Arizona's better than we thought they'd be, too. Give me the Mormons.
I'll take the Wildcats to be different.
Yeah.
I feel like we got to differ somewhere. In number 21, Arizona State, 4-1, travels to 4-1 Utah. Utah is not ranked, but they're 5.5-point favorites in this.
Give me the Utes. Give me the Utes at home. That place will be rocking.
Yeah, it will. There's some really good home environments in the Big 12.
Yeah, definitely.
But I'm taking Arizona State. Forks up. So, but that will do it, unless you have anything else in college football you wanted to talk about.
Nope.
So. All right. Well, let's get into the NFL. Week five has been entertaining so far. Tonight's Kansas City at Jacksonville, which is a big game for both teams. But let's go with our three winners, three losers. I will let you start with your first winner.
San Francisco 49ers on Thursday night. Good win against the LA Rams. They almost choked her away, but found a way to win. And man, Mac Jones might be a little better than Brock Purdy.
No. He's a good backup.
He is. I've never believed in Brock at all.
And he's tough. He's tough. Yeah. I mean, I thought when Max was gone, I'm like, oh my gosh, a Martinez is going to have to come in this game. I didn't know he's in the NFL, to be honest.
I didn't either.
But Max hunted out. I mean, they were without like seven starters and pulled it out, and bad loss for the Rams.
That was,
bad loss for the Rams. But this Niners team, they've only got one loss. So, yeah. And they kind of, Jaguars about choked it away against them. I was going to say, and they choked that game away against the Jaguars, but no. My first winner, I got to be Homer here. Denver Broncos going into the defending Super Bowl champs, getting a road win over them while being down 14 entering the fourth quarter. Oh. Yesterday, going into the fourth quarter, the Broncos all-time were 1-112 from entering the fourth quarter down 14 or more points on the road.
Wow.
Now they're 2-112. It was Broncos also 2-10 since start of last year in one-possession games going into yesterday. And the Eagles had won 20 of their last 21, including 12 straight at home. So, I mean, that Broncos offense was lifeless for three quarters, and something awoke in them in the fourth. They actually stuck to the game plan of running the ball to open up the pass. Defense just pinned their ears back after down 17-3. And it's amazing what happens when you start hitting on some plays and getting momentum, and came away with a big win. And now, the next few games, you got the Jets in London, and then followed up at Homestead with the Giants. So they could maybe take off here. But biggest win of the Sean Payton era and the young Bo Nix era so far. And this is kind of crazy to think, but I think it's the Broncos' best win since Super Bowl 50. 10 years.
Interesting.
I don't know what other regular season game would be.
That's a good point.
And they just made the playoffs last year for the first time. Super Bowl 50. So not a lot to compare to it. So. Yeah. Felt good, so I've been riding cloud nine today, except it came out starting left guard Ben Powers is out for the next 2 months on IR.
Oh, that's next.
That's a blow to a pretty good offensive line, but hopefully next man up there. So
my second winner is the New England Patriots. Mm-hmm. They're 3-2 now, and they've won three in a row. No. Three of their last four. And Drake May went punch for punch with Josh Allen there.
He played well
last night. And, Mike Vrabel's changed the culture there already. I wish the Dolphins would have hired him.
Stephon Diggs was awesome last night. He took it personally, and he was awesome. And and the Bills, 11 penalties. 11 penalties will do that.
That's unlike them, for sure.
Yep. My second winner, it's kind of piggybacking both my first winner and the winner you just mentioned. I'm going with second-year quarterbacks. Good weekend for not all second quarterbacks, but some. Bo Nix, Drake May, Jaden Daniels, I thought played pretty well against the Chargers. So, so the second year quarterbacks, Michael Penix didn't play. Trying to think who else was part of that draft. But those were the ones I wanted to highlight.
Caleb Williams didn't play either.
Nope, didn't play. There's another one that went in the first round, and he's escaping me right now. So there were six of them. Oh, J.J. McCarthy. He didn't play. So the ones that played this weekend did pretty well.
My last winner, Tampa Bay Buccaneers. They look like one of the better teams in the NFC so far. Good win on the road in Seattle.
Baker would be my MVP if the season ended today.
See that?
Yeah. I thought Sam Darnold played pretty darn good, too, yesterday.
Yeah, I did, too.
But he threw one bad pick at the end. So my last winner, sorry, J-Man, the Carolina Panthers. Just for hanging in there down 17 and coming back and winning that game. They're an interesting team. I can't quite figure the Panthers out.
They stink.
But I haven't put them in the winner category all year, and I don't know if I will. So throwing them a bone. I'll start off with the losers, if you don't mind. The Arizona Cardinals.
Definitely, yeah.
What a choke job against the Tennessee Titans. I mean, they've lost by three straight games by field goals, but to teams that don't look very good. And I mean, Cardinals start off 2-0, and I remember I was saying, maybe this team's sneaky good. They stink.
Hold on to the ball when you're crossing the end zone, the goal line. Just
For goodness sake, it's not that hard.
My first loser will be a team that I won't talk about the rest of the year unless they miraculously turn around. And that's the 1-4 Miami Dolphins. only 8 teams in history have started 1-4 and made the playoffs. So
I'm surprised it's 8, to be honest.
I know. Unless they miraculously turn things around, I just will not talk about them. But this team's incapable of doing that because they're a bunch of gutless losers on that roster. Offensive line sucks. Their draft this year has been miserably bad. Kenneth Grant, first-round pick. Worst rated defensive tackle in the NFL, according to PFF. Their second-round pick, Jonah, whatever, something – something Hawaiian, something Samoan last name. I don't even know. Savvy, something. Lowest rated guard in the NFL this year. Chris Greer has now been there 9 years with 0 playoff wins. It's the longest tenured GM in history to not win a playoff game. Mike McDaniel, good offensive coordinator. They got up 17-0. It was looking pretty good. And didn't score another point till 4 minutes left in the fourth quarter and gave up 200-yard rushing game to a backup running back for the Carolina Panthers for that. It's over. It's never been more over. And I especially knew that when I was watching on TV. You know, I used to be like on the edge of my seat during the entire game. Now I was sitting in my Chase Lounge and I was TikToking the entire game, looking up at the game. Okay. I was zero emotion. So it's over. Over.
Yeah, and I think Tyreek Hill's career is done as a Dolphin.
Yeah, he's done. I mean, they already announced pretty much. I mean, there's reports that they're going to release him anyway.
But I saw on the NFL page of ESPN.com that Mike McDaniel said that Stephen Ross is frustrated, unhappy. I'm like, well, no dip.
Yeah,
he's an owner. Why would he be happy with starting one of
them? After every single loss, I hate the Miami media because they ask him after every single loss, what did Stephen Ross say to you today? Like, what's he supposed to say? Yeah. Oh, he's really mad at me. He's going to fire me. Like, come on, guys.
Yeah. Yep. My second loser, LA Rams. We kind of hit on it with your winner pick of the Niners. But just when I want to believe in the Rams, you know, they lose a tough one at Philadelphia, block field goal, come back and beat the Colts, then lose this one to a banged up Niner team in the division. Yeah. That could come back to haunt them later on this year.
Yep. New York Giants, that's a bad loss to a bad Saints team. You did. Good call.
My last loser, the Chargers' health. Year in, year out, this team cannot stay healthy. They're down 3 linemen now. Now, Marion Hampton's on the IR.
Oh, boy.
I mean, I get on Justin Herbert, but, man, when you're taking away weapons and protection, I don't know what the guy's supposed to do. And now the Chargers have lost 2 straight. Now the AFC West is tied, Chargers and Broncos and Chiefs if they win tonight. So, there we go.
Baltimore Ravens, my last loser. Oh, boy. Even without Lamar, you got to be more competitive against them. One, in my opinion, a bad stinks. Texans team. Yeah, this is it's a weird Ravens team for sure.
Thursday night or Eagles at Giants? Yay, another NFC East.
Eagles for 13.
I got the Eagles for 13 as well. Broncos at Jets. It's in London.
Broncos for 12.
I got the Broncos for 14. This Jets team is bad. Only winless team in the league. And we've seen a lot of bad Jets teams. Yeah. This one's really bad.
It might be a one and done for Aaron.
And here we go. Now the Jets are going to be the Broncos. I'm going to talk about the trash. Arizona Cardinals at Indianapolis Colts. Colts are throttling people. They're good. I give them credit. Yeah. But, like, man, their schedule's been kind of
Schedule's been pretty easy. They got to beat who they play, though.
Yeah, they do. Yep.
Colts for 14.
I got the Colts for 12, so we're right in line here. Rams at Ravens.
Rams at Ravens. I have the Rams for 7.
I got the Rams for 7 as well. This is getting really weird. Browns at Steelers.
I have Pittsburgh for 10.
I got Pittsburgh for 11. Seahawks at Jaguars.
Let's see. I have Seahawks for 6.
I wish I could watch the Jags play tonight. I picked them to win tonight, so I think they pulled the upset off tonight, and I got them for 4. I'm on this Jags train all of a sudden, just to make you mad.
I don't like it.
Chargers at Dolphins.
Chargers for 11.
I got the Chargers for 6. Both teams need that game.
Nah, Dolphins are done. Lose out.
Cowboys at Panthers.
Cowboys for 5.
I got the Cowboys for 10. Where was this Javonte Williams when he played in Denver? New England Patriots at New Orleans Saints.
Pats for 2. I picked this game before I saw Pats win last night, but Pats for 2.
I got the Patriots for 9. I think if they can beat the Bills, they can go. Even though if the Saints can win this game, all of a sudden they got 2 in a row, but I think Patriots take care of them. Yeah. Suckfest Titans at Raiders.
I have the Raiders just because they're the home team. I have the Raiders for 3.
I got the Raiders for 1 for that exact reason. But, man, they looked lifeless yesterday. San Francisco 49ers and Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Give me the Bucs for four.
I got the Bucs for two. Cincinnati Bengals at Green Bay Packers.
Packers for 15.
I got the Packers for 15. Bengals are done. Yeah. A lot of people are like, what should they do about the quarterback situation? Nothing. Nothing. You're not going to – there's no reason to go do something else. You're not going to win. Just punt on the season, unfortunately. So, yeah, it's just a bad situation there. Detroit Lions at Kansas City Chiefs Sunday Night Football. This will be a fun one.
Give me the Chiefs for one.
I got the Chiefs for three. I don't really like these back-to-back Monday night games.
I don't either.
Bills at Falcons.
Bills for eight.
I got the Bills for eight. Chicago Bears at Washington Commanders. Last time these two played, what a finish we saw.
Yeah. Give me Washington for nine.
I got the Commanders for five, but not winning on a Hail Mary this time.
Yeah. Birdie or bogey, Josh Allen is tied for the most games in NFL history with at least one passing touchdown and one rushing touchdown. Can you name the guy he's tied with?
It's not this guy. I know it's not. I got three guys in my – under two guys in my head, another one I've X'd out. But I'm scared I'm not going to say this guy, and then I'm going to be like, what an idiot. This is probably so wrong. Is it Lamar Jackson?
You are wrong. Yeah. Who was the other person?
Michael Vick.
You were wrong on that one, too. One more guess?
Randall Cunningham?
Cam Newton.
Dude, hey, that dude's career went downhill so fast after Super Bowl 50. I forget about him half the time. That makes a lot of sense. I hate this segment. Might have to get rid of it next year. Thanks for watching.
Thanks for watching the Tan and J-Man Show. We'll be back at it next Monday with another episode. Have a fantastic week, everybody.